Welcome to Take What You Need. Think of this as a weekly catch-up between me and you where we talk about everything. From the mindset shifts that make us better versions of ourselves, to discussing how the media and marketing play an even bigger role in the story of our lives than we might think. Each week, I delve into the questions that you, the listeners, have asked and share my take on the topics that matter the most to you. Let's get started. Okay, so welcome guys to the first episode of this new season. And to kick things off, we're going to get straight into one of the questions that you have submitted. And the question is, how are you so confident? Were you always this way or did you have to learn it? And there's so much to unpack in it. But before I even get there, it's so interesting to me that somebody thought this, because I'm an introvert and I really don't speak in person at all. I have lots of thoughts, but I don't always share them. So sometimes people mistake introversion and quietness for a lack of confidence, which is definitely not the case. So I wanted to kind of call that out up front. But yeah, so let's get into it. Well, what I would say is that before we even talk about how to be confident, I think it's really important to think about the different types of confidence that actually exist. And I just wanted to quickly outline that there are really different types of confidence. So for me, the confidence that I believe I am cultivating and that I have is that inherent human value, that idea that because I'm here, I deserve to be here, and I'm comfortable with who I am. Doesn't mean there aren't things that I would like to change or improve on, or lessons that I have to learn, but they don't fundamentally impact the worth that I have at my core, right? I think it's really important to define that upfront and to just create a bit of a separation between that internal core value confidence and the confidence that maybe comes with things like when someone gives you a compliment or when you get affirmed at work and all these little external things that build up and definitely boost a type of confidence. But I do think they are layers that sit on top of each other. And if you don't have the core, you'll constantly be looking for the external outside things to build you up, whether it's earning the next amount or looking a certain way or having a certain relationship or hobby and living in a certain location. Again, all of those things can be beautiful. All of those things can make us happy and boost our self-esteem in a given moment, but again, it's not the core, and I don't think it has as long staying power. So even up front, I think it's really important to understand which is which and understand that pretty quickly. Okay, so let's get into it. So there are four key principles that I live by, principles, ideas, strategies that I live by that help me affirm my confidence and my worth. And maybe these will help you too, the person who asked this, anybody who's listening that it might be relevant to. Please do share if you have any other thoughts or if there are people that you think could really resonate with some of the things that I'm about to share. So just to quickly get into them and outline them, those four things are remembering my intrinsic value because I'm here on earth for a reason. Number two, being comfortable with the fact that confidence isn't always consistent. Lots of season there, but I'll break it down in a bit. Taking the long-term view and playing the long game. And I think this is actually a whole nother podcast episode, because playing the long game sounds really good when you're confident and when you're happy in playing the long game. But sometimes the long game doesn't always feel like the right idea or the right choice. And it may sometimes feel like the very, very slow game. But that's another story for another day. And number four, being aware of and dropping the pedestals that I may hold other people up to. That I may subconsciously think that this person has done it and they are better than me because they have XYZ advantage. There might be another little bonus one in there as well, but let's get into it properly. Let's break it down. So number one, the fact that I'm here for a reason. What does that even mean? For me, I don't take things for granted. I really know that life is a gift and that I'm not here by chance. The fact that I have been born in this period of time to these parents who traveled here and did all these things, all of those things cannot just be like one massive coincidence. I think life is there's just so many random things that happen in the world that for this to be my unique makeup, that is different from pretty much everyone around me, to an extent, even my own immediate siblings. We all have a slightly different life story. Because of how unique I am, no one should be able to tell me that I can't stand confidently in who I am and what I've been given and what I'm doing on the earth. Like, it just, to me, it just doesn't make sense. Like, how can we all be so unique? And then for some reason, someone else is going to tell me that I'm not worthy, or I'm going to think that I'm not worthy. It just doesn't make any logical sense to me because I'm not a carbon copy. I'm not a replica of anything else, of anyone, even the people that I came from. So, by that mere fact, I have some value to bring to the table because I am unique. And I think on the surface, that sounds like quite a simple idea and quite like, oh, that sounds nice, but actually, what does that mean? And I think how it really manifests in me is being able to recognize that that uniqueness helps me to resist external markers of what it means to be worthy or worthy of attention, worthy of affection, having a worthwhile life, because those goals are made by other human beings who have a different perspective. And I don't see why an external perspective that, again, is equally unique can make me feel insecure. It just doesn't make sense because you can't impose something external on me as if we're all the same when I'm not. That's just it. And I think it's really, really important. At the same time, I just want to take a step back and say that that doesn't mean that people can't attempt to make you feel small, or that people that you value's opinions cannot have an impact on your self-worth, because they definitely can. But I think the key is being able to really be mindful of that and be able to contextualize that appropriately. So for me, I also connected to that. I try not to put anyone on a pedestal. I really recognize that everyone is literally a human also trying to figure it out, and we're just as flawed, even if they appear to have three things that I'm aspiring to and I don't, for whatever reason. That was definitely something that was emphasized in the home as well, that I had scenarios where growing up, external institutional figures like teachers, for example, would say, oh, she can't do this. And my parents would just be like, yes, she can. Why would you say that? That was really instilled in me very early that you can't, no one else can just pronounce your limitations onto you. That's not a real thing. Doesn't mean you don't have limitations, but that cannot be set by somebody else. And in a similar way, this like idea of the phrase, this Nigerian phrase that many people have experienced growing up, when your parent says, what about this person? They don't have two heads. And it's typically used in the context where it's like, let's say you got 85% in an exam and then somebody else got 95. Your parent will be like, what about her? She got 95 in her exam. She doesn't have two heads. As if, like, basically, you're both humans, so how come she outperformed you? And I kind of take that slightly toxic rhetoric that some of us have maybe experienced or heard over the years, and actually, that's kind of how I live my life. I look around, and instead of using it in a comparison way, that why, like, that person's no better than you, why can't I do what they do? I just think if someone has something that I love or that I am aspiring to, they don't have two heads. So if they've achieved it, maybe I can too. And I think that's an exciting idea. And in the old context that I explained, where it has come from and how it's been used, is not super positive, but actually you can flip it on its head and be like, I can do whatever. Like, they don't have two heads. So if they've done it or if they have it, maybe it's within my reach as well. And I think that is like a very simple but profound belief to hold as a true belief. That's the thing, that these shouldn't be like ideas that you then try and adopt. You actually have to embed them into your soul and into your spirit. So moving on to the second point, I became really comfortable with the fact that confidence, in the broad sense, that feeling of like, I'm on top of the world, I can do everything, was not going to be consistent every day. I really, really became comfortable with that reality. And why it was important for me to come to face with that and come to terms with that and accept it was that on the days where I was feeling a bit lower, I wouldn't spiral and then think, I feel so terrible, like nothing's ever gonna work out, I'm this, I'm this, I'm that. I would come at it with a more objective perspective, being like, okay, this is part of the cycle. There's gonna be peaks, there's gonna be troughs. This is a mini trough. I just have to ride it out. And it just really changed my mindset. I think a key thing is that understanding that when you look at people's lives, everything is in cycles or systems, or nothing is consistently high or consistently low forever. Nothing is consistently easy or consistently hard forever. Understanding that you go through different periods helps you look back on your life or look at a situation that you're facing, and kind of helps you to see it a bit more evenly. For me, choosing an alternative career path like was the highest level of practicing this. I'm always trying new things. I'm always trying to carve out what's a life that I'm proud of or that I believe I'm supposed to be living looks like for myself. And when you're trying to carve that out versus following something that somebody else told you, you realize that some of these ideas and some of these ambitions and some of these goals are going to take years and years to figure out. And that's okay. And in that experience of figuring things out, you actually realize that difficulties, challenges, conundrums, questions, they make you stronger. They make you more experienced. They refine your skills, your resiliency, your ability to actually problem solve rather than caving under the pressure. And I always think about the times where my confidence has been knocked, or maybe things haven't gone right, or things don't feel like they're consistent. I just think if this is the challenge that I'm having juxtaposed against the progress that I've made so far, and I want to make 10x this progress, I need to be resilient and mature and developed enough to face whatever challenges come from being at 10x, right? When you get to a new level, there's a new genre of challenges or problems to figure out or conundrums to unpick. So every experience is a training, right? Recently, I was talking with a family member who was going through the driving test period, and she was watching YouTube channels of people doing like test exams. And I thought that these test exams on YouTube would be like an example of the perfect exam. So you'd watch someone, drive around and it would all look beautiful. And I said to her while we were watching it and someone made a mistake, I was like, oh my gosh, they made a mistake. I thought this was going to be like, watch this mock exam and learn how perfect they are. And she just said, no, they're regular people and they do make mistakes. And actually, I'm learning so much more from the mistakes than I am from watching a perfect, seamless driving exam. And that I felt was really relevant to this whole topic that I wanted to talk about, because that's it, right? I know it sounds sometimes a bit contrived and a bit cliche that, experiences make us stronger, we come out more refined in the end. That's like a key aspect of James 1 as well, for those who are into the Bible. And it may sound repetitive and like you've heard it before, but the truth is it's the truth and it works. And when your mindset is aligned to that, rather than beating yourself up or feeling like you failed because you're going through a quiet period in your life or a period where you've actually made an active mistake, it helps you to kind of stay grounded and not throw everything away. This doesn't mean that I don't get worried or doubtful about different endeavors and activities. Like I said, confidence isn't always consistent, but it's more about that at the core, deep down, even if I'm like, oh, this day is not going right, why am I doing this? Inside of me, there is that resolve. And I love this phrase that I came across online, which was being okay if it happens and okay if it doesn't is a very powerful place to be. And I think that principle of having goals and holding tight to your goals and your vision and your big dream, but holding loosely to how it happens and the timing is really important. It's not that you shouldn't have any aspirations, but the key is to hold on to the big picture and be flexible around the small details, right? Another thing that helped me, the third thing that helped me, was understanding that this is my life on my terms. And what I mean by that is that for me, especially when I'm making like a big decision or when I maybe I'm a bit nervous about making a choice that maybe other people don't understand, I ask myself this question: when I lie down at night, will I be happy with how I feel? That's it. And the reason why I mention lying down at night is because when you lie down in your bed, the day is done. The room is quiet. It's just your brain. Just that moment just before you sleep, it's just you and your brain and your thoughts. You can't be distracted by like socializing or like performing in a particular work setting. It's just you and you. That's it. You're the only one that lives with the reality of your choices day in, day out, right? You can have family members, close friends who all maybe see aspects of that choice, but you are the one that lives every single second of those choices that you make. And for me, I always want to think about what's going to make me happy, not what's going to make me actually look good and then I'll regret it in the quiet moments. What is a decision, even if it's not the right decision and I make a mistake and I change, what is the decision that I can confidently say Well, I made it and it was on my own terms. It's my bed. I need to lie in it and I'm gonna figure it out. I'm gonna enjoy the success of the choice, or I'm gonna learn from the difficulties that came out of it. I live. I live by this principle of I would rather live with the frustration of failure than the feeling of what if or feeling regret because I didn't honor my choices and I didn't honor myself. It's something that I've lived with since I was about 18 years old. I'm deeply passionate about this idea. I don't want to ever feel like I'm a bystander in my own life and that I'm sitting by and I'm watching other people take the decisions or the choices that I wish I had the bravery and the confidence to. I would rather try and fail and know what it's like to fail and learn from those mistakes, as I said earlier, than to never try and sit there and think, oh, if I'd made that decision 5 years ago, where would I be now? If I made that decision last week, would I be happier? I hate that idea of feeling like I've not honored myself and therefore I've missed a boat and now I've made a choice and I'm just sitting and watching other people live it out. It's the number one clarifying question for me, or clarifying principle. Would I rather live with the potential that this may fail? Which it also doesn't always, by the way. When you take a risk, there's actually no guarantee that it won't work out, so it could work out. I think life is too short to live for out of fear. And I also think life is too long to sit with the pain of regret. So that is a huge thing for me. Related to this is actually this idea of self-awareness. Someone else submitted in the question boxes, what books can I read about self-awareness? And to be honest, for me, it's not really about books. It's just about taking the time to unplug from distractions or opinions of others and really think for yourself. It's really important to not dismiss your emotions or the things that you think are a big deal. Sometimes we have this gut feeling and we're like, something about this isn't right. We need to fix this, right? Sometimes you may have that thought. And for some reason, you or others, but sometimes it's us, we just dismiss it and we're like, you know what? It's not a big deal. It's fine. Maybe it's not fine. Maybe it's time to listen to your gut. That is how you build self-awareness, by actually listening to the person of who you are. You've got all these feelings, your gut feeling. Some of us like even have anxiety. I know that when I make weird decisions, I can't sleep. And I know that that decision or that statement isn't quite right. If I can sleep, then I'm like, okay, actually, maybe I've been fine. Don't dismiss your emotions. Don't dismiss your doubts or your suspicions. I'm not saying act on them blindly, but just pay attention to them. I really, really am not super fazed by things like trying to reach a certain milestone by 30. I'm not saying that I'm not impacted by that. Like, we live in a world where there's so much pressure to achieve everything young. But I really, really try to train myself to look at the people that I admire the most. Many of them are like over the age of 50, 60, maybe even 70. And I've had the opportunity to either speak to them directly, or if they're from a distance, maybe we watch documentaries about them. And I understand that life is a series of steps. Not all steps look as nice and shiny and as sexy and as perfect as each other. And when you watch that consistent principle, it doesn't matter who they are, what privileges they were born with, what privileges they weren't born with, what career they're in, what industry, it doesn't matter. Over the long term, you can see that there are moments where things looked like they had maybe failed, or that actually this wasn't the right choice, or that this was the end and this mistake you can come back from. And seeing those people who have the longevity that I don't have, I've got 10 years of career experience. I've got 30 years of life. They've got 60 years of life. They've got 40 years of career experience. I'm like, okay, I understand that even though the scenario changes and we're living in a different time, the principle that life happens, that things aren't always going to go perfectly, that there's not always going to be complete clarity, and there's not always going to be fullness and understanding is very, very important and compelling for me, and it helps me just stay focused. I mean, like a fun example of this, but I say it's a fun example, but to be honest, it's really real. Let me not lie. I've been watching Buying Beverly Hills on Netflix, which I absolutely love because if you are a reality TV fan, then you would know that the CEO and founder of the business, of the real estate agency, Mauricio Umansky, is one of the husbands on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And that show has been on for 12 years or so. And through watching that show, we've also watched Mauricio go from just starting his business when it was like just getting started to becoming the most, I think, successful realtor in the whole of the United States, to opening multiple offices across the US and beyond, and building this whole business. We've actually watched that happen in the background of the show. It's obviously not the focal story in Real Housewives, but now we're now seeing his business that he's passing on to his children. That has all happened in a 12-year stretch. And again, this is what I mean by longevity. And they're still quite young. I think he's like just in his early 50s. That is what I mean by trying to find touch points and examples, whether they're close to home or not, where you can actually see that nothing is consistent. There are moments of frustration. There are moments of difficulty. How do you build that consistency? How do you stick to things? By developing that vision. I really am a strong believer that developing a vision clarifies all distractions. For me, when you have that vision written down, it gives you a soft landing, but also a strong force to keep you propelled. You're less likely to look to the left and right and start to doubt your choices. Therefore, you're more likely to actually move with confidence. Even being able to verbalize and write down your ideas is an essential step. Do you ever get those thoughts that you feel like come out of nowhere, or these visions that you feel like kind of dropped into your brain? Those might be things you need to pay attention to. Again, us going back to self-awareness, paying attention to the ideas that pop up and not dismissing them as like, oh, this is a random idea, like, sure, fine, whatever. But actually, like, if this feels like not a thought that is just my own random musings, but it literally feels like a light bulb moment. I always say, don't underestimate light bulb moments. Keep them in mind. I don't always act on them. I'm just like, okay, if I feel like this is a light bulb moment, if I feel like this is coming from God, I'm gonna keep it. I'm gonna write it down because it's gonna be relevant in the future. And when you write stuff down now, you actually then have a touch point in the future to be like, actually, this was true, this actually happened. And you'll probably forget about it, by the way. It happens a lot until you then like go through your documents or search certain keywords if you're taking stuff like on Notion or Google Docs and things. I did that for myself in September. I felt like I've had a very interesting year where I'd say that it was kind of I'd say that the last 2 years were on an incline. And then I'd say that this year I got to the top of the incline. For example, key things in my 5-year vision, not a 5-year plan, because I did not have steps year by year and I could not predict what had happened in the last 5 years year by year. But I had a rough idea of what I wanted to live, what I wanted my life to look like by the time I was 30. In reflection, many of those things, if not all, happened. So this year was kind of a year of, like, I guess, living in those realities, which also meant that I didn't feel like I was on an incline. I wasn't actively working towards the next thing. I was living in essentially what are answered prayers. And that's cool for a while, but then we need to continue this pilgrimage, this journey that we're on of life, right? So I just had a visualization session in September. I just sat down. I was like, God, like, I feel like, you know, I want my next 5-year, 10-year vision. Can you give me some ideas to inspire me again, help me stay consistent? And I got those and I wrote them down. Just had like a bit of quiet time, music, reflection, writing things down. And when I'm having difficult days where my confidence is knocked, or where I feel like, okay, what am I doing again? What were these choices for? Is this all worth it? I go back to that 5, 10-year vision and I look at where I'm going and it gets me excited. And I know that I wrote it not from my own ideas or aspirations. This isn't like vision board, what you think is cool. Like, I wanted it to explicitly not be related to things that I thought were trending, etc. And I was really aware of that because I didn't want my big life vision to be influenced by trends, because that doesn't have the power to last. But yeah, so I wrote down these visions, and when I'm having bad days, that's where I go. That's what I look at. And it helps me to reassess and to reset and to feel like, okay, we're still on the path. It's going to be fine. Just continue. You've got this. And those are my principles when it comes to building confidence and trying to create an environment that helps me to strengthen my own self, right? This is all confidence also allows you to move through the world with strength. It allows you to move through your inner world with strength. And that is all really important to me. And these are the principles that have carried me through really uncertain but exciting times in my life and in my career. I realized that confidence wasn't about having everything I wanted or looking like a certain way, but it was about leaning on my intrinsic value, the assets that I have because of who I am, not because of what I did or who I knew or what I looked like. Those were the things that mattered the most. Remembering that because I'm here in all my uniqueness, my unique journey has brought me up into this path, I have all the worth in the world. I'm comfortable with the fact that some days it may feel a little bit inconsistent, but that's fine. It's all part of the journey. It doesn't mean that I should give up. I'm always thinking about the long-term view and the long-term vision, trying to play that long game. And then I develop my vision, this idea, the ideas, the light bulb moments that give me a bigger picture of what I'm working towards, even in the days that feel like a little bit pointless or super frustrating. So yeah, let me know if this helped you. I hope I answered your question. Thank you so much for asking. There'll be more questions in the next episode. I'm really excited to chat with you all again. So submit questions. I keep talking about questions and it's like, where can I submit my questions? They will all be linked in the newsletter. That is the only place where I'm taking questions from people who are subscribers to the newsletter only, because that's what we do here. Outside of that, I'll see you in the next episode. And in the meantime, hit me up on Instagram, TikTok. I'm out here, typically on stories, almost every day. So I'm looking forward to chatting and hearing what you think about this whole idea of confidence and building a vision and sticking to that vision, even in trying times.